Radio 630 KL. We're making our way through a busy broadcast day, and it's Friday, Free for All Friday, but big goings on in the Capitol, and it's just all kinds of scuttlebutt happening today. The Speaker of the House, John Boehner, stepping down. I am not the least bit brokenhearted about that one. It was widely thought that Representative Kevin McCarthy, who was the majority whip, and he was going to just ease right into that role. And then yesterday, he pulled a rope-a-dope and said, nope, I'm taking my name out of contention. Now, the reasons why are being widely speculated. He said simply that it just was not the right time. The Freedom Caucus is a group of very liberty-minded Republicans in the House of Representatives. I know a couple of them, we're not BFFs, but I know to Congressman Thomas Massie, I'm a huge fan of him because everything he does, he views through the lens of the Constitution. Well, this isn't sitting well with a lot of other Republicans who say, hey, you know what? You guys are essentially just ruining things by being rebels like this. Until the vote for the House, Ken Buck was a part of the Freedom Caucus, but he had indicated that he was going to break from the caucus and vote for Kevin McCarthy, but that's now out the window. So why don't we check in and see what the latest is on Capitol Hill? Good morning, Congressman Ken Buck.
Hi, Manny. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I must say, you probably, with everyone else, were slightly shocked yesterday when Kevin McCarthy took his name out of the running for Speaker.
Mandy, it was the most surreal experience. I had just gotten my barbecue lunch, sat down in the Ways and Means Committee, and you could fit three Invesco Fields in the Ways and Means Committee room. And Kevin McCarthy gets to the microphone and starts speaking, and he's not close to the microphone, so only the people in the front row or two can hear him.
Right.
And then John Boehner gets up and says, I move to adjourn the meeting. Kathy McMorris Rogers says, meeting's adjourned. And I haven't even gotten through half my pulled pork yet. It was one of those deals where nobody had heard what Kevin said. And so people in the back of the room started screaming, what did Kevin say? What did he say? And finally, you know, the word started spreading about what happened. But it was very different than what we expected when we walked in there at noon.
So here's the thing. Yesterday he said that he concluded he could not unite the increasingly fractious Republican majority. And that was his tact. Now, I was sort of laying the groundwork as you were dialing in. You have identified as a member of the Freedom Caucus, but you had also indicated that you were breaking from the Freedom Caucus when it came to voting for the Speaker of the House, and you were supporting Kevin McCarthy. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, first of all, there were probably 8 to 10 members of the Freedom Caucus who were not voting for Dan Webster, the choice of the Freedom Caucus. Mm-hmm. So this was one of those issues where people felt that their principles were more important than sticking with the group. I think Kevin has done a good job of being inclusive. He has put me on a few different committees, policy committees that give him input on different things that are going on in Congress, as well as Mark Meadows, as well as Jim Jordan, and a number of other conservatives in the House. And so, one, I liked his inclusiveness. Two, in spite of his not voting perfectly with conservatives, he has done a number of things that have been very helpful. When McConnell sent over the highway bill and it included a provision to reauthorize the Export-Import Bank, which conservatives absolutely hate, he held that up and sent a bill from the House to the Senate and said, we will not take up your bill with this provision in it. So he has done a number of things that have been important to conservatives. And I just felt like he was the best candidate of the three for moving together as a group and trying to get some conservative things done.
Well, can you understand, though, the feeling? And I'm going to say that I've talked to a lot of Republicans just, you know, in daily life that are so, what's the word I'm looking for? Just disgusted with the way that the Republican leadership seems to have caved time and time again since their sort of big victories in 2014. And there is a fear that because Kevin McCarthy had worked so closely with John Boehner, to be perfectly honest, Ken, I think the fact that John Boehner recommended Kevin McCarthy as a replacement was his kiss of death from the beginning. And that's kind of a big deal. And for a lot of people who are so sick of politics as usual, they're hoping for some kind of change. I would think that the postponement of the vote yesterday would indicate that they are really working to have someone else step up other than Daniel Webster or Jason Chaffetz. So what are you hearing now as to where, what direction? I know that Paul Ryan is under pressure to put his name in the hat, but he's resisting. What is the word on the street?
Yeah, Paul Ryan has young children, and I think he feels guilty spending as much time away from his family as he does. Trey Gowdy has kids who are in college, law school, and wants to make sure that he is spending time with them until they are out on their own. Jim Jordan has a son who is a college wrestler and will be vying for a national championship, and he wants to spend time with his son as he goes through that. So a lot of personal issues are in conflict with what a lot of the members would like to see in terms of leadership. I have to tell you, though, be careful what you wish for, because we've gotten rid of John Boehner, and Kevin McCarthy has decided not to do it. There are Republicans now talking about, because they're so frustrated with conservatives holding this up, talking about forming a coalition government, talking about working with Democrats to create a majority and you know, keep the conservatives out of the mix in terms of choosing a speaker.
So I got to tell you, Ken, strategically long term, that will alienate the base so badly that there will be repercussions long term when it comes to fundraising and supporting the RNC that I think would destroy the party. I would, you know, that's exactly what people don't want. That's exactly what people out in flyover country are railing against. And if that happened, I can only imagine the blowback on that.
Oh, it would be horrible. And it would be, I mean, it may very well form a third party. And I strongly believe that you split the Republican Party into two parties and the Democrats win for the next years.
For sure.
But the bottom line is, and here's the frustrating thing for me, Mandy. It takes 218 votes to get anything done in this chamber. So my job is to create legislation that I can go out and get as many co-sponsors as I can and try to convince people that it's the right way to go. And I've got to get to 218 to get that done. And I've got to work with people who are moderates and who come from, you know, Massachusetts and New York and New Jersey and other states that don't share our Western values. And so to accomplish that, most of what we can try to do gets watered down to a certain extent. And that's the reality of working in a legislative body where you've got to get a majority to win.
So you kind of gave me who's out. So who's in? You know, we know Jason Chaffetz wants it. We know Daniel Webster wants it. Who else is anybody else even come forward to indicate that they would be interested in throwing their name in the hat, whether or not it's likely or not?
Yeah, the day yesterday was a blur. You know, I had committee hearings. I had other things, votes on the floor, sets of votes on the floor. And so nobody has called me as of right now or approached me as of right now. I anticipate that there will probably be four or five people who will test the waters and one or two who will run. You're going to see three or four people at least in the race in the next week to 10 days.
Okay. So, and we of course don't have any real idea of when this vote will take place, correct?
Well, John Boehner has said that he will stay until we've got someone elected on the floor. But I think that the vote on the floor is still anticipated for the 29th, and we will probably have a conference. But we are in the district next week. The week after, I anticipate that we would have a conference vote on this.
Wait, did it surprise you the kind of celebration that took place across the country when John Boehner stepped down? Or was that expected?
It didn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
I had been in many town hall meetings in August and had listened to the feelings of my constituents, and it was absolutely clear that John Boehner and Mitch McConnell are being blamed for a lot of what's going on. And in reality, a lot of that has to do with Harry Reid and Barack Obama. But I understand the frustration, and I think John Boehner understood the frustration. And basically, Kevin McCarthy was saying, "I don't want to be another John Boehner. I'm not going to lead a group that can't figure out how to come together and support a common set of core values. And so let somebody else step forward and do it."
It is an interesting time to lead the party, but whoever takes the reins next is, I think, Ken, to be perfectly honest, where some see this as sort of a chaotic, horrible, potentially the downfall of the GOP kind of thing. That's what the punditry is saying right now. I actually view it as a period of creative destruction. And where there is creative destruction, there's tremendous opportunity. And if you can get someone in that leadership role that can clearly express the frustration and aggravation of the rank and file Republicans out there, and yet continue to do the House's business in a way that the House's business should be attended to, there's a huge opportunity there. I mean, there really is. It just, I hate to think that there would be such anger on the part of politicians that they would cut off their nose to spite their face by creating a coalition with Democrats to get a new speaker elected. I hate to think that that's where we are.
Yeah, I don't believe most Republicans in the end, after they've thought through it, will go for something like that. But I have to tell you, the next month and a half is going to be a very difficult month for whoever is in leadership. And I say that because we've got a debt ceiling vote that President Obama has moved up specifically because, not because we're running out of money, but specifically because John Boehner has stepped down. And he knows that the Republican House is in disarray at this point, and he wants to take advantage of that. And we have other votes. We have an omnibus vote on the budget or on appropriations that's coming up. So we've got some very difficult decisions to make, and whoever steps into this is immediately going to be cast as someone who is compromising, and it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Certainly entertaining to watch until you realize the vast importance of the whole thing. Can I ask you a question on the debt ceiling since you just brought it up?
Sure.
At this stage in the game, the drama surrounding the debt ceiling, the drama surrounding it, it's like watching, you know what it's like? It's like watching Lethal Weapon 4, okay? The formula's already been laid out. You already know what's going to happen. There's absolutely no mystery in the end result. And yet it's set up as this huge drama where we're all supposed to be incredibly concerned about the government not being able to pay its bills, when the reality is, you know that they're going to extend the debt ceiling. We're going to go more into debt. Nobody's talking about significantly cutting spending. Even on the GOP primary side, I'm not hearing candidates talking about cutting spending at all, let alone with any significance, except Rand Paul. And, you know, why do we keep doing this, Ken? Why is it that we keep trying to make it some big dramatic event when in reality we all know the outcome ahead of time? It's like professional wrestling.
I got to tell you, back in February, we started talking about budget. And I said, look, I'm not voting for a debt ceiling increase unless we dramatically reduce spending. And when we reduce spending is not the day of the debt ceiling vote. It's months and months beforehand. So let's pass a budget that balances, or at least gets us very close this year and balances next year. And everybody laughed at me. Oh, you can't do that. This is Washington, D.C. And then we started on the appropriations bills. And I didn't vote for the appropriations bills for the very same reason. It's not the debt ceiling vote that's important. The debt ceiling vote is a fait accompli.
Right.
But the votes that lead up to that are the votes that are what are so important. And that's where I believe Republicans fall down.
Yep, I agree. But I also, how do I say this delicately? You brought up the fact that people blame John Boehner and Mitch McConnell for a lot of what's been going on in the last couple of years since the Republicans took the majorities in the House and the Senate, or had the House but took the Senate. And I have watched Mitch McConnell in action as a resident of Kentucky for 3 years. And he is an old school politician in that this is what's worked for year after year after year. You set up a crisis and then you come in and solve the crisis, and then you take credit for solving the crisis that you yourself created. So my faith in him is very, very low. And that's one of the reasons I'm kind of excited about this, you know, this craziness that's happening right now, Ken, because it's almost like we're shedding a skin of that old school politics. And I'm hoping, and I may be Pollyanna, I may have my rose colored glasses on, but I freely admit that. But I'm hoping that out of this, you know, sort of shedding, we find people who are dedicated to doing things constitutionally in a way that makes sense and moving forward with, addressing some of these difficult problems with answers that I agree with for a change. That's what I'm hoping comes out of this. And like I said, I might be Pollyanna. I don't know. I mean, I
hope that happens also. There are a lot of possible scenarios right now.
Sure.
And certainly the conservatives in the House are trying to move in that direction. We don't have a majority of votes, but there are a number of people who vote a lot less conservative, who have a lot of common sense and who can see that at some point we've got to start delivering on what we promised during elections. Every single Republican, no matter where they're from, talks about less spending, talks about less government control, less regulation. And if we don't start as a party in the House putting bills over in the Senate that, and we have, we've got 250 bills in the Senate now that they won't take up. But if we don't start really publicizing the measures that we have passed, it's clear to me that the Republican Party is doomed, that we will not receive the support of the public.
I agree wholeheartedly, because at some point when it's almost like, how many times does Lucy have to pull the football out before you go, well, wait a minute, I'm not going to kick the football anymore, you know? And I think a lot of people feel that way. I talk to them on a regular basis that say, why am I supposed to vote Republican when nothing changes? Everything remains the same. And I have a harder and harder time explaining to them why, but I do tell them there are people out there. There are people in the House. There are people in the Senate that are just as frustrated as we are. And those are the people that you should support. And, you know, find the people individually, the politicians that agree with you and that are trying to get it done, and support them directly if you're that unhappy with the RNC.
No, I agree, Mandy.
Yep. Well, Congressman Ken Buck, I popped some popcorn. I'll be sitting and watching as the House turns, waiting for the next Speaker of the House to be elected. It's a cliffhanger.
Oh, Manny, I am so happy that I can provide entertainment for you and probably your nice warm blanket, this November.
I'm a Snuggie girl, okay? I've got my Snuggie on with the convenient arms so I can also eat popcorn at the same time while remaining nice and toasty. I'm no fool. That blanket. Yeah. Yeah, that blanket. That's so played out. That's so 1985. Representative or Congressman Ken Buck, I really appreciate you making time this morning.
Thank you, Manny. It's great business.
No problem. Have a great day. You know, I really believe. Now, see, this is where I get my relentless optimist hat on, and it bites me in the butt so many times. So many times. I want to believe that the Republican Party can come out of this chaos and can do the right thing, but yet then there's egos involved and people get their feelings hurt. And people want to shut other people down, and people get caught up in petty, small politics. And I'm not even talking about the Jeffco school board recall. See what I did there? Got Ken Witt coming up, speaking of the Jeffco school board recall, the school board president who is facing a recall, coming up at 8:40 this morning. But, I just want a government that works for people. And I want a government that respects the Constitution, and I want a government that is smaller rather than larger and errs on the side of liberty rather than a more expansive version of government. Is that so wrong? I mean, is that so wrong? I just want people to be free. Just want them to be free. 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255.